Chapter 1. Auction. All right, ladies, the proctor called out to the assembled women. This is your big day. We're going to get you cleaned up and looking your prettiest for the buyers. You'll all want to fetch a good high price so your new masters will remember how valuable you are and take good care of you. Karen Stenstrom made a sour face. She did not particularly care how much money her body would bring at auction. As she stripped down, along with the other women, before they were all herded to the shower room, she wondered, not for the first time, if this was all some kind of horrible dream, and if she would wake up and discover that she and her entire family had not been judicially enslaved for debt after all. But, as always, there was no awakening from this particular nightmare. The shower room was a vast, echoing expanse of white tile, with metal pillars bearing shower heads rising from the floor at regular intervals. Karen looked around at the other 40-odd naked women who were to be sold along with her in the afternoon auction. All of the women were older than 18, and thus classified in the catalog as legal for all purposes, and all of them were pretty. This was no surprise. This was the group of premium females, the most attractive ones available at this auction, who were expected to bring the highest prices from buyers. Her gaze lingered for a moment on a particularly attractive girl with bright blue eyes and a short black mop of hair, which contrasted sharply with her alabaster complexion. She had a slender, athletic build, small, high breasts, a wasp waist, tight, round buttocks, and long, lovely legs. Karen was not looking at the girl to admire her physique, however. The brunette was Natalie Hart, who'd been Karen's best friend. Natalie suddenly turned to stare directly back at Karen, who hastily looked away, casting her eyes down at the floor. Every time she saw poor Nat, Karen felt a stab of guilt. It was because of Karen that her friend was about to be sold to some man to use her in God knew what perverted way. It was bad enough that Karen had doomed herself to a life of sexual servitude, but the knowledge that she dragged her blameless and beloved friend Natalie down with her was almost more than she could bear. Salty tears invisibly joined the streams of water from the shower flowing down Karen's cheeks as once again her mind replayed the disaster that had overwhelmed Natalie, herself, her family, and her friends.
"This is it, the deal of a lifetime,"
Karen's older brother Bran told the assembled Stenstrom family.
"After this deal goes through, we'll all be able to retire to a life of luxury. This is the moment to take a chance, to go all in,"
he continued enthusiastically. Stenstrom & Sons was a third-generation, family-owned import expert firm in Kingsport, the principal port city and commercial center of New Harrow. It was a small business and always had been. Over the years, Stenstrom & Sons had gotten by in a modest way, content to snap up crumbs of business that were too small for the giants like Transocean Limited and Imperial Express to trouble themselves with. The founder of the company, Olis Stenstrom, had long since retired from the business, and his sons, Anders and Lars, had retired as well, 2 years ago, leaving the firm in the hands of Lars' son, Bran, and Anders' children, the 19-year-old Karen, and her older brother, Amund. Now, Bran was proposing that Stenstrom & Sons break with tradition and commit itself to a much larger venture than any the company had ever attempted before. Karen and Amund were very interested in Bran's deal. Their parents, though retired, still liked to give their children the benefit of their accumulated wisdom. They were skeptical.
"You want to pledge everything the firm has and borrow money on top of that?"
Lars asked his son.
"What's your guarantee that this deal will be as profitable as you say?"
"And what if something happens and the whole shipment is lost?"
added Karen's mother, Afrid.
"You're putting all your eggs in one basket. It seems terribly risky to me."
"Please listen, Father, Aunt Afrid, all of you,"
Bran persisted.
"This is the greatest opportunity in the history of the firm, and there's practically no risk at all. Let me go over it for you again."
2 years before, Bran had come to the aid of a man who was being attacked by robbers on the streets of Kingsport and had chased the men away. The man he had rescued turned out to be a rug merchant from Khalistan named Abdul, who swore he would never forget that he now owed Bran his life and promised that he would repay the debt some day. They exchanged names and addresses and parted. Bran had not heard from the man in the 2 years since, nor had he really expected to. Indeed, he'd practically forgotten the whole incident. Then, out of the blue, he received a letter from Abdul containing a fantastic business proposal. The rug merchant had found himself in a position to handle the sale of an extremely valuable collection of rare, first-quality, hand-knotted Khalistan rugs. These rugs were very popular in New Harrow, and they invariably sold quickly and for high prices. Abdul was offering to sell them to Stenstrom & Sons for about half of what they'd bring in New Harrow, which would still make a comfortable profit for himself. Normally, such a deal would be offered to one of the big import firms who possessed the initial capital required for such a large investment, but Abdul saw this as a chance to repay his debt to Brown and so steered the business to Stenstrom & Sons.